books. Oh, we have hippity-hoppitied off to a different land that it is not even our normal studio to do book picks in. We are here in Lenox, Massachusetts. And sure, yeah, Tanglewood, huge draw to Lenox.
And so is Shakespeare and Company. But let's not forget this town's amazing independent bookstore. It's called, appropriately enough, The Bookstore. We love to go there.
We do, and Matt Tannenbaum is the proprietor. He joins us on his home turf to present a fine list of books this morning for these dwindling summer days. And we were just talking before you came in, but really, you've been at this for 40 years?
40 years.
Wow. You're not even bitter. Or at least not outwardly.
And I'm not sure I like the word dwindling. For summer or after 40 years.
No, just dwindling summer days. I mean, fall is coming eventually.
But it is true that it is the bookstore, Matt's bookstore, is the go-to place in Lenox and, frankly, for all the Berkshires. You want a book, that's the place to go.
Thank you, Alan. Yeah, we get a lot of compliments. I get these compliments from my customers, the same ones that Joe tells me. He says, where do you find these books? I never see these books anywhere else.
Yeah. No one has. You have a very odd sense of taste because nobody gets these except for you. Like here's an example. Now I don't want to get you off your schedule here, but here's a book. And now I look through the catalogs. I go through all the stuff. They send me. I had no idea this book was in print. So what is it?
This is. I'm just noticing the footprints on the white cover, the white vellum cover. It's Schubert's Winter Journey.
Okay.
By Ian Bostridge, who is a singer who has sung the Winterreise, the 24 poems that Schubert set to music. And I didn't realize it's inset into the vellum cover are the footprints through the snow.
That is the Winter Journey.
Yeah. This is, I was going to talk about, at the very end of talking about this book, I was going to say, and I'll say now, e-book readers, you don't get this.
No,
That's it. I'm not going to say another word.
end of rant. Save your strength. So, what's it about?
So, but let me start with the Pope.
Oh, okay.
I want to start with the Pope. Right. Yeah, the Pope Francis, the Pope. Encyclical on climate change and inequality on care for our common home. This just came out from Melville House. This was announced earlier that it was coming out this year. Melville House is this very cool little publisher out of Brooklyn that began as a response to 9/11. Instead of going to war, it was writings and poems from New Yorkers. And Melville House has published lovely, lovely fiction and nonfiction. And they'll pick something like this, get the rights to publish this. And Your Eminence, this is nothing new. We've known about all this before, but
reported, but this is getting to read the entire thing and to really understand what the ramifications are and quite frankly, what an encyclical is.
What an encyclical, a letter to the bishops,
yes.
To certain bishops or all the bishops, right? So this is the Pope putting his moral authority onto the need to recognize climate change. And it's terrific. I don't know what the response has been from world leaders, from so-called world leaders. what's going to happen? Is this just going to go by? Will somebody find a copy of this in the trash bin of human history? We don't know.
Well, we do know that Obama has just announced his intentions on climate change.
Right. That's right.
And there has been some speculation that part of the support for this that he is relying on is Pope Francis having put this encyclical out.
You put allies together. That's the last book I'm going to talk about today is a book about the Battle of Waterloo, how Wellington and the Prussian general combined to defeat Napoleon at Waterloo. So you get allies. So that's the Pope's book, and it's a paperback for $14.95. We've sold out of the first box of 24 copies we got in 2 days. And we have more copies. I have a few copies left.
Pope Francis, Encyclical on Climate Change and Inequality on Care for Our Common Home. It's published by Melville House. All right, what is next?
Okay, now to Schubert's winter journey, Winterreise. Oh, okay. So Schubert at age 29, 30, 31, do you know the cycle, Alan?
I don't, but I only think of Tom Lehrer telling us that Schubert said, take me to your leader.
Why did I even bother to go there? Why?
I don't know. I'm glad that was a good setup. I like that.
So they're doing this tomorrow night here at Tanglewood. Matthias, somebody, is singing the Schubert, the Winter Journey. So at 30, 31, he, or 29, he set to music these poems by
Matthias Gorn.
Matthias Gorn.
Who's the baritone?
Wilhelm Müller wrote these poems, and he, Schubert is rejected by his lover, or he rejects his lover, nobody knows, and he goes on, takes a trip through the woods, and he sets the music, these incredible poems. One of them is called The Linden Tree. We call that the other famous, Lindenbaum. We call that the other famous German tree, other than the Tannenbaum.
Okay.
I had to go all the way with that. No, all right. So the Linden Tree, the Lindenbaum is one of the most popular songs in German culture. And we have Thomas Mann, his character in Magic Mountain, sure, making reference to Lindenbaum. Beckett loved the Schubert stuff. So, and this book, published by Knopf, in a little, feel how heavy it is.
I know, it's a very compact volume in the sense that it's not
heavy stock,
but very heavy. Yes,
well illustrated, 60 color illustrations, graphs. It's a midrash on Schubert. He takes these 24 songs, and he makes commentary on historical references, psychological insights, literal connections, and it's a beautiful book. And it's so you had the Lindenbaum is one of the songs, the Frozen River is another one, and Bostridge, who has sung these songs, takes the opportunity to talk about ice ages and how rivers used to freeze and how they don't freeze anymore. And then the last song is the Hurdy-Gurdy Man. Now, underscoring everything in the Winter Journey is the poet or the musician's sense of alienation. He's gone away. He's an other. He's out. And the Hurdy-Gurdy Man, according to Bostridge, is the perfect finish because it's not even a musical instrument. You just turn the thing. It's beneath contempt. And then he makes the connection, and this is my segue to the next book, that from Hurdy-Gurdy Man to Mr. Tambourine Man. Ooh. He says, Dylan, I think Dylan used to listen to Schubert Winter Journey. And if you look at some of Dylan's early poetry, and you look at Schubert, well, or any young man's early poetry on love, loss, alienation, the connection is there.
Schubert's Winter Journey, Anatomy of an Obsession by Ian Bostridge. So next we'll talk about Dylan Going Electric.
Dylan Goes Electric by Elijah Wald. And the subtitle tells more about the book than one would have thought. Dylan Goes Electric, Newport, Seeger, Dylan, and the Night That Split the 60s. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask Alan, did you ever talk to Pete about this?
I did. I asked him about it. He said he didn't do it.
He did not chop the cable.
Yeah.
He was trying to pull it out.
Yeah.
And then he went backstage, and who was it? Somebody came up to him and said, you know, Pete, what? And Pete just put his hands over his ears and said, I can't stand this noise.
Yeah.
And that's where Pete was at. And I don't think he ever got over it. I mean,
Pete never got over it.
Yeah.
We were interested because Joe was there. I was there for the Pete 95th birthday. And they had everybody. Everybody in the world showed up except for Dylan. I didn't see Dylan there.
No, I think Dylan was, Dylan was on this path and he just kept going. And he had gone electric before. You know, the first electric album had come out. And then, you know, I saw a great exhibit down at Morgan Library years ago of Bob Dylan in high school.
Uh-huh.
And there was a story. Robert Zimmerman in Hibbing, Minnesota. And the headline was, you know, Bob Goes Acoustic. Because he used to play electric guitar in high school.
Interesting. Mm.
So then he went acoustic when he came to New York. So Elijah Wald has done a great thing. And it's a... a lot of different perspectives on that night leading up to that night. What was it, July something, 1965?
Yeah, we just passed the anniversary.
And a couple of guys came in the store the other day who were playing at Newport last week. They said James Taylor made a surprise visit down to Newport last weekend. So this book, that subtitle I was referencing, is it's all about the music industry. Mm-hmm. And what happened with copyrights and with the rights of the musicians, and it was no longer hootenanny. Mm. You know, so Dylan either took or it was in the forefront of this new wave, just like, you know, Kurt Flood, the high paid slave, you know, would not be sold for money.
Yes,
in baseball, the reserve clause. So, you know, this book is something like about the reserve clause, and this was the difference, and this was the difference in American music.
You remember, of course, when he came to the small town, you know, ball fields, and played once here with Willie Nelson.
Oh, Bob, sure. And he told some great jokes.
Did he? You can't tell him here.
No. He told a joke. I told it at a Helsinki tribute a couple of years ago. Bob came to town and to play a round of golf with Rob and me and Bob. And Bob showed up wearing two shirts. I said, Bob, what do you need two shirts to play a round of golf? He says, Matt, what if I get a hole in one?
Oh, boy.
I got booed when I told that joke.
Well.
he didn't. But
seems like a good reaction to me, Matt. But Dylan Goes Electric, Newport, Seeger, Dylan, and The Night That Split the 60s by Elijah Wald. We have about 4 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. William L. Shira and the American Century, A Complex Fate by Ken Cuthbertson, a Canadian journalist and writer, a biography, basically a retelling of Shira's own three-volume memoirs, which are all out of print, but with some new material.
And, of course, Shira lived here.
And Shira lived here and came to Tanglewood every Friday, Saturday night.
Interesting.
Had a box right in the center, always wore those red socks. Great guy. So nice book. Nice to have a new biography with the support of the family. There was something that came out a couple of years ago that wasn't very good. This is a little long, and it's not boring, but it's not as exciting. The guy just wanted to write a straight biography, and he did. And published by McGill University Press.
Ken Cuthbertson, and it's A Complex Fate, William Shira and the American Century.
Laurie Lee, A Moment of War, the third volume in his memoirs. As a 19-year-old, he had walked through Spain, escaping dreary England back in the 30s, and found that the country was at war. Got out, the British Navy, the Royal Navy, rescued him, but he went back 2 years later, or a year later, to fight for the Loyalists, and walked over the Pyrenees. He said, "Here I am, comrades, I'm here to help," and they said, "You're a spy," and they threw him in jail. And so this is an incredible book about what happens really. And there's a description of battle that he does take part in. It's terrific. And one more war book.
We end on the war books. Yes, sir.
But this is a strange war book. The Sage of Waterloo, a tale by Leona Francombe. The story of a rabbit who lives at the site of the Battle of Waterloo 200 years later and learns from his grandmother, Old Lavender, that man's catastrophes live on in the land around.
Well, so it's about a bunny?
It's about a bunny. and it's a sweet, sweet book. I'm about, 20, 30 pages into it. And it's a lovely, lovely voice. First novel. The woman, the writer is a pianist who lives in Belgium with American literary degrees. And it's a wonderful book. I invite you to come and look at this book today, and all of these books, later today.
Well, we'll head on over after. It's Sage of Waterloo, a tale by Leona Francombe. For more information on the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts, you can go to their website. It's bookstoreinlenox.com. But for goodness sakes, .net?
Sorry, yes.
Well, geez, how many years has it been? you can visit them at bookstoreinlenox.net, bookstoreinlenox.net. You can also visit the store at 11 Housatonic Street in Lenox, Massachusetts.
It's an institution.
Indeed, it's an institution, and
you,
as are you, Matt.
Get that last one in.
No, that's right. 40 years, it's an institution.
April 1st next year, big party.
All right, let's have a party. It's the bookstore in Lenox. Bookstoreinlenox.net to find the book picks. You can also find them on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. You're listening to the Roundtable's live broadcast from Tanglewood on WAMC.